as I look at your fans, it reminds me of a story in the early Advent movement. They didn't have air conditioning, and we don't have air conditioning. I'm not sure if they use their fans too often, but it's surely a good idea. But I remember where Ellen White would be speaking, and right in the middle of a sermon, she would stop and pause and say, can I get the attention of the deacons? Could it be possible that we could open the window? And they opened one window, and then she continued to preach, and when it's the windows are closed and it's warm and it's hot, it's easy to fall asleep. And again, during her sermon, she paused again and said, can the deacons open more windows? And windows, little by little, began to be opened, and circulation, and the saints stayed awake and heard the message. Well, what I'm trying to say is that I'm praying that you will stay awake today in spite of the difficulty of our weather. May it not prevent us from hearing what God has to share through me today. Start with me, as you would, we sing together, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Annetta and myself had the opportunity some years ago to visit an observatory. And we went into this large room, and there we saw this huge telescope. I mean, it was really large. And as we enter into the room, there was this long line of visitors wanting to be able to look through the telescope to see the planet in view. Well, they waited for the astronomer to adjust the telescope to the planet Mars. He adjusted the stairs, the movable stairs, so that they could be able to make their way up to the telescope. And finally, the event occurred. One of the visitors, the one right in the front, young man, walks to the stairs, ready to put his eyes right on that telescope. And I'm going to pause right there. Put a stop on that. Let's put imagination to work. Let's imagine that the astronomer said something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, before you have the opportunity to look through the telescope, I want your attention. Young people and boys and girls, this is not just any telescope. This is a telescope that is none like any telescope in all the world. In fact, it's able to see the great galaxies of the universe in all their beauty. And I want you to notice how it was made. It was made by one designer, and there's none like it. And he goes on and on and on talking about the magnificence, the wonder of this telescope, and keeps on talking about the telescope. Now, imagine yourself in the line, and especially the visitor who's right there, ready to be able to look through the telescope. What are they thinking? What is everybody thinking? Can you imagine them saying this? Sir, would you please let us see through the telescope? We haven't come here just to listen to you talk about the telescope, all about the telescope. We appreciate it, but we would like to see through the telescope. Isn't that what a telescope's for? The seventh-day Sabbath can be likened to a telescope. And I want you to think about that today. The Sabbath is like a telescope. It points to something greater than itself. Who is that something, that someone? Who is it? Jesus Christ. And we've identified that the Sabbath doesn't look at itself. The Sabbath looks to Jesus, who is our, what? Our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Restorer. who he is, what he has done. Now, the astronomer wanted to keep talking about what? What did he want to keep talking about? The telescope. But the visitors, they were waiting in line, and they, what did they want to do? They wanted to look through the telescope. In this case, they wanted to see the planet Mars in view. Now, I wonder, as I thought about this experience, and I thought about the Sabbath as a telescope, and I wonder, could it be possible that as Seventh-day Adventists that we have spent a lot of time, maybe too much time, talking about God's telescope, the Sabbath? Now, I think maybe I need to explain myself what I mean by this. You see, from the very beginning as a church, we have been concerned about the reasons for the Seventh-day Sabbath. We go there to the Bible and we see that much of Christendom has forgotten about the Sabbath. They remember about this commandment and that commandment, but they've forgotten about the Sabbath. And so we want the rest of the world and our Christian friends to know, why was Sunday introduced in the first place? And when did the change take place? And who is it that initiated the change? And we've taught generations of Christian Seventh-day Adventists how to give Bible studies. And God is blessed. God is blessed in that effort. And it's been a wonderful heritage. But somewhere along the line, now this is the key point that I want to make today, and I'm going to repeat it again and again and again. Repetition means it's important. Somewhere along the line, we have forgotten that the real purpose of the telescope is to look through the telescope. The real purpose of the Seventh-day Sabbath is to look through what the Sabbath was to point to. Not to itself, but to who? Jesus Christ, and a relationship with him. As a result of this, we may be able to trace historically the change of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday on the majority of our Christian friends, and biblically prove the present day, the validity of the Bible Sabbath. And all of this has its place. And I, along with you, when I give my Bible studies, I've shared these very things. But again, the original meaning, the original understanding, the original purpose, the original focus of the Sabbath, we've tended to forget to say all of those things and to say, now let me share with you what the telescope of the Sabbath is all about. Jesus. A relationship with Jesus. Now, I must admit to you that I was raised this way. But as I later continue to grow in the Lord, and God has been so patient with me. Has he been patient with you too? God got my attention. And he says, oh, I'm so glad you're sharing the truth of the Sabbath. And it means a lot to me. And I instituted it for you. But I want you to see something more about the Sabbath. In fact, more fully about the Sabbath. And that is that it points to me. It points to me. A relationship with me. And I realized that as I was focusing so much upon the rightness of the day and the history, the change, all those things, and all of that, that it was so much easier for me to get caught in a trap. And some call this trap the Sabbath trap. The Sabbath trap. Maybe you're wondering, well, what is the Sabbath trap? What could the Sabbath trap be? And I'd like to a few moments to share with you some of the characteristics of what the Sabbath trap is. And as I do, I want to ask you, are you caught in a Sabbath trap? Or have you been caught in the Sabbath trap in the past? The Sabbath trap is finding ourselves asking questions. Those questions come in our own mind or even in our discussion with others. And I'm here today to tell you that they're the wrong questions. And these questions, as we talk about them, as we dwell on them, they begin to give us the feeling that we're burdened down with this checklist of, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. What can I do on the Sabbath? What's the Sabbath all about anyway? That's some characteristics of the Sabbath. And I wonder, have you had an experience similar to mine in regards to this? Have you ever thought these thoughts before? I think most of you, if you're honest with yourself and you've discovered that maybe, wow, I guess I've been caught in the Sabbath trap, or it took me a while to realize I was even caught in the Sabbath trap. Take, for example, how many times I've sat in maybe the living room of someone's home or maybe at a school classroom, and people begin to talk about a number of things, but ultimately, sometimes we bring up about the Sabbath. Young people especially have the habit of doing that because there's a bit of frustration with young people sometimes as they're trying to find themselves and find a relationship with God. And God is patient with them. Let us be patient too. But young people naturally want to ask questions like these. Notice them on the screen. What's wrong with water skiing on the Sabbath? What about mountain biking on the Sabbath? What's wrong with riding my Honda up and down the dirt hills on the Sabbath? What's wrong with studying a class assignment in Bible on the Sabbath? And the questions go on and on and on. And ministers, pastors, teachers, and parents, we do all we can in order to explain and give an answer. And I've heard some parents say, well, you just aren't supposed to do that on the Sabbath. And young people and adults that hear these answers, as best as we can say it, they walk away and they just don't feel like that's the adequate answer. I have come to believe that all of this time, many of us, including myself, friends, we have been asking the wrong questions. Now, it's naturally for us to ask those questions, but we're not going to get the right answer by just following these questions, orbiting on these questions. We know about the Sabbath as the astronomer did about the telescope, but we have lost sight of the underlying purpose, the underlying meaning and focus of the Sabbath. What's the telescope for anyway? But to see the planet in view. What's the Sabbath for anyway? But to see a better relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of this, because we have been asking the wrong questions, orbiting around the wrong thing, we find ourselves invariably asking these certain questions again and again, and yet not moving beyond anything else, kind of on a superficial level. Do you know what this habit has done to us as we have concentrated on the wrong questions? When I found myself constantly orbiting around the wrong questions, well, let me just put it this way. Notice the screen. As long as we find ourselves asking the wrong questions, what's wrong with this? We're going to find ourselves caught in the Sabbath trap. And the Sabbath trap is thinking of the Sabbath as a checklist of do's and don'ts, rather than seeing the Sabbath as a means of forming a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Sabbath trap is insisting that others line up with our checklist. And if they don't, they're less of a Christian than we are, or someone that comes close to our checklist. One Christian put it this way. They said, emphatically rejecting, the Sabbath trap is this, emphatically rejecting legalism as a doctrine, but earnestly expecting legalism as a lifestyle from others. Ouch. The Sabbath trap is keeping the right day out of duty alone. Because it's the right day. Out of duty alone. Friends, I was once in the Sabbath trap, and I want it out. How does one get out of the Sabbath trap? How does a Saturday keeper, who's not necessarily a Christian Sabbath keeper, but a Saturday keeper, get out of the Sabbath trap? Now, if I know anything about traps, I've found that it's not easy to get out of a trap, is it? There are all kinds of traps. And the Sabbath trap is no exception. Not easy to get out of the Sabbath trap. You know why it is? Why that's the case is because the Sabbath trap is a form of legalism where we orbit around our behavior or the behavior of someone else rather than a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. And orbiting around behavioral questions like, is it okay to do this on the Sabbath? Why can't we do this on the Sabbath? Orbiting around that. In other words, the Sabbath trap is focusing on the do's and the don'ts of Sabbath keeping. And what happens? That emphasis, that thinking, produces a Saturday keeper that's caught in the Sabbath trap. And I used to be a Saturday keeper, and I was caught in the Sabbath trap. And I wanted out, and I wanted to be a Christian Sabbath keeper. Is that your desire too? Is this your desire as well? I pray that it is today. It's a good desire. Now, I would like to suggest that our starting point for evaluating what we should do or what we shouldn't do on the Sabbath, rather than it being a checklist of things that we shouldn't do or should do, should be this. This should be the evaluating point to ask this question. What is God doing on the Sabbath that He made? What is God doing on the Sabbath that He made? Here's the key. Only as we consider what God is doing on the Sabbath will we be able to determine what we should be doing on the Sabbath. And so again, what is He doing? What is Jesus? What is Jesus Christ? Jesus who said, I created the Sabbath for mankind. And the word for means to help, not to be against, but to help them to form a relationship with me for their betterment, for their good. I created the Sabbath for them. And so, what is Jesus doing on the Sabbath? If you and I claim Him to be our Savior, what is our Savior Jesus doing on the Sabbath that He made for us? Friends, this is what He's doing. He is doing this. He is involved in courting our attention. He's involved in courting our love. He's reaching out to us to accept His embrace and fellowship with Him in a unique way, unlike any of the other day of the week. Why? Because we have a 24-hour date with God, a whole day to spend a date with Him. And on this day, God is involving Himself with us like no other day of the week. And He's acting to bring holiness and healing into our lives. That's the purpose of the Sabbath. Now, the truth of the matter is this. I've already mentioned it and implied it. And that is this. The truth is this. It is a date with God. I want you to think of it that way. I've used a human term, an everyday term. The Sabbath, Sabbath keeping is a date with God, with Jesus Christ. I would invite you to go with me in your Bibles now to the Bible's book of Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah, the 58th chapter. This is a key chapter in understanding Christian Sabbath keeping. How to get out of Saturday keeping and to become a Christian Sabbath keeper. This is a key passage noticed in the Bible. It's probably the best explanation of Christian Sabbath keeping in the whole Bible, and yet at the same time, it's probably one of the most misunderstood passages in the Bible. So let's try to understand it. Isaiah chapter 58 and verses 13 and 14. Follow as I read it. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Verse 14. Then you shall delight yourself with the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, I really mean what I'm saying here. This is a wonderful promise. Now, as I read this message, this inspired message, I come up with four, or I should say maybe at least three different thoughts from this inspired message. And I hope that maybe you see these too. First of all, what is our attitude towards Sabbath keeping? What is our attitude towards Sabbath keeping? As I was driving here at church today, and Annetta was talking to me, and I was thinking in regards to the message, suddenly the song came to my mind that I sang in kindergarten class. Sabbath is a happy day, a happy day, happy day. Sabbath is a happy day. I love every Sabbath. Got to go back and get it together and we can sing it again sometime. And yet, the young people that sang those songs, after a while, they find themselves in the Sabbath trap and they sing and they mouth those words and they really mean Sabbath is not a happy day. And they don't have that attitude. And now it's adult children. And if we're honest with ourselves, Sabbath is not a happy day. Now, that's not the case with all of you. But it may be with some of you. I'm trying to be honest with you here. Why is it an unhappy day? The Bible is saying, what is your attitude regarding Sabbath keeping here? It says there in the Word of God, the nuggets of truth there, are these. Nugget number one, our attitude towards Christian Sabbath keeping is a condition to receiving the Lord's blessing. What's the attitude? Call the Sabbath a delight. Now, I can look at that two different ways. My mom and my dad said for me to obey. And I obey outwardly, but inside, in my heart and in my mind, I am rebelling. I am not happy about this whole thing. And so outside, you see me obeying. Oh, what an obedient boy. And inside, I am really angry and upset. Is that the kind of obedience that God is wanting us to do regarding the Sabbath? I love the Sabbath. Oh, it's a wonderful day. Good to see you today. You know, no. He wants us to be able to call it a delight. To call it a delight. And you see, that's why number two is so important. Nugget number two, true Christian Sabbath keeping cannot be forced, coerced, demanded, mandated, but it must come from a heart that has found delight in who? The Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord of the Sabbath. I'm trying to tell that astronomer, please, I've heard what about the telescope. Thank you so much. But now let me look through the telescope, the planet in view. Friends, we've talked about the Sabbath, and we've done a good job. God has blessed May God continue to use you as you share this wonderful truth and important truth about it, but share with them. Let them look through the telescope and see Jesus. Let them look and find Jesus. And as they come to know the Lord of the Sabbath, they'll come to see that He is their loving Creator. He is their awesome Redeemer. He is the one who wants to restore them and bring healing in their lives. That's what the Sabbath's all about. A relationship with Jesus Christ. But it's a third explanation that I especially want us to understand as we look at this awesome principle here, this promise. So look at verse 13 one more time with me. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, and do not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. This scripture is implying something to me that I can relate to as one of God's people. I'm just one of God's people. And God is speaking to me today as He's speaking to you. And in effect, this is what He is saying. This is a reality check, okay? God's people have been finding their own pleasure. God's people have been doing their own ways. God's people have been speaking their own words on His holy, honorable day. Could it be that part of the reason why God's people have found themselves doing this and not having an attitude of delight in the Sabbath, could it be because they are in the Sabbath trap and they're directing what they should do and what they shouldn't do on the basis of this checklist approach? And on that basis, instead of a relationship with Jesus, which is the true object of the Christian Sabbath, to point to Christ, a relationship with Him, could that be part of it? Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verse 13, clearly implies what the true meaning is and what the ultimate goal is. And it's right there. It's been looking there at me all this time, and I want to explain it to you again. Emphasis. Notice it here. Nugget number 3, real goal. That the Christian Sabbath keeping is doing God's pleasure rather than our own. Going His way rather than our own way. Speaking His word, His conversations, rather than our own. In other words, Isaiah chapter 58 is telling us that God desires for us to draw close to Him, to have a closer relationship with Him. And that, in essence, is what really it's saying. Or the title of the sermon today. What's the title of the sermon today? A date with God. A date with God. To see the Sabbath like a date with God. You know, that's what God would have us do with Him each Sabbath. He would like to be able to walk with us and talk with us throughout the day, and we talk with Him and enjoy our fellowship, a 24-hour date with God. In fact, you know, I have to say that as I look at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they had a wonderful date with God, there they were. They spent the whole 24-hour period. What was He doing with them? He said, I want to show you what I have accomplished for you. And He took them around, and He fellowshiped with them, and they talked together, and they walked together, and they had joy together. And it was a date with God. Amen? And everything they did with God in mind was a relationship with Him. And each Sabbath was like a date with the God whom Adam and Eve was growing to love more and more and more. as each Sabbath passed. That's how it could be for you and me. I want to share with you a story. Nothing like a good window that's clearly open and you can see a better picture of what this is all about. A date with God. That's what the Sabbath is all about. Please, thank you for talking about the telescope. Thank you for telling me about it. It's history and who made it, and it's very special. But let me look through it. Let me see Jesus. I had the opportunity to attend seminary, Andrews University. And one of my professors in his class one day, he shared about how he met his wife. Now, I enjoy hearing people's stories about how did you meet? How did you meet? I'd like to hear that. And he shared with us about how he met his wife. Here he was a bellhop in a hospital. In fact, it was Paradise Sanitarium Hospital some years ago, and they wore maybe an outfit similar to this. Did my best in trying to find some kind of a picture. And they stood at the door. What does a bellhop do at a hospital? But they stood at the door, and when someone would come up, they would bring the wheelchair out, or they would open the door. They would answer questions as to where this is and what that is all about, showing kindness and friendship. And one day, as they stood there, their bellhops, my professor now saw a young lady. And he turned to his friend and he said, who's she? And I wonder if anybody here, please don't raise your hand, but have you ever done that before in your lifetime? Who's she? Who's he? Well, he did. And he thought to himself, I would like to meet that young lady. And he had acquaintance with her. He had an opportunity to talk with her. It maybe was in the cafeteria or somewhere. He met her just for a brief moment. And he thought, my, I really would like to meet her again. I'd like to get to know her better. Well, this was the days when if you wanted to meet a young lady, you had to go through some pretty strict regulations about interpersonal relationships between a man and a woman. And it was a pretty strict days. And so the things you had to do was you had to talk to the dean of women. Okay, I would like to get to know her. So he went to talk to the dean of women. And she looked at him. I'll never forget how he told the story. I cannot do justice to it, but I'm doing my best. And she says, yes, I will give you permission to see this young lady, and you will come once a week, and you will come Tuesday evening, and you may arrive at 7 p.m., and you must leave at 10 p.m. And the way she looked at him, and the words that she said, he knew exactly what she meant. He was to see this young lady once a week between the hours of 7 to 10, in the evening, and he would come to the dormitory, and they would arrive together, and they would cook a meal together, or maybe play some games, or listen to some music. Plenty of things to do. And the rules, some of the regulations, that's okay. I'm wanting to get to know this young lady. Well, the first Tuesday came. They made arrangements with the dean and with the young lady. He rang the doorbell, and it was exactly 7 o'clock, right on the nose, and she was there. And they had a wonderful date. It was a great date. And he made arrangements for the next Tuesday, and he went back again the next Tuesday, and he went back again the next Tuesday, and he went back again the next Tuesday. Yes, and you know what he did the next Tuesday. Now, his friends... We had some friends too. While Annette and I were dating, they had some very interesting things, plans for us. But I'll tell you about that later. But, wow, his friend says, well, Tom, and that's his name, Tom loves the beach. Let's invite Tom to the beach. And so one particular day, Tom, we're going to the beach. We know you enjoy it. We're going to have a campfire. And we're going to have a great time. Tom says, well, that sounds exciting. What's the night? What night is it going to be on? Well, here's the date. Come on, aren't you going to come? No, I need to know what night it's on. Well, Tuesday night. Well, count me out. I'm going to go to my date. Count me out. And sure enough, you know where he went on Tuesday night. And every Tuesday night, and he got married to that young lady. He did. And he was married to her for more than 60 years. Praise the Lord. More than 60 years. And it all started from 7 o'clock in the evening to 10 o'clock, 3 hours on Tuesday evening. And he cherished every evening because a love relationship was happening. And everything they did together pointed towards a relationship with her and her with him. And everything they did together, they had the other person's pleasure in mind. Now, Tom, during those special times, on this particular date, on Tuesday night, usually the other nights of the week, in the evening, sometimes he would get his newspaper, and he'd read the sports page. What is it about a man in sports page? I don't know. But yes, I'm not a Blazers fan, but I check out what the Blazers are doing just to see what's going on. They live in, they're up there in Portland. But no, on Tuesday nights, between the hours of 7 to 10, he put the sports page, he put the newspaper aside. He wanted to be there for her. And neither did he speak his own words. When he communicated with her, he communicated what was interested her. And when she communicated with him, what interests you? Now, we could really get into a long conversation here about what was your first date like. But, you know, dates, being on a date at first is kind of mechanical. You sort of wonder, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? And that's the way it was with Tom and his date. But after a while, it became so much easier. You get to know her. Found out she was a wonderful young lady. And he had a wonderful time. It became a delight. It became a delight. And my friends, so it can be with you on the Christian Sabbath if we ask the right questions and seek to order our Sabbath activities around that question. And what's the question? What's the question? What is God's activity on this day? What is He seeking to do with us on this day? And the answer to that question is that God is reaching out to us in a special way on the Sabbath. And He is seeking to enrich a closer relationship with us. And related to this, He is wanting for us to join Him and to do good on the Sabbath. And you know, that is another sermon in the future. But right now, I want you to see what we do or what we don't do on the Sabbath is not based on a checklist. Checklists are out. But it's based on knowing God. Knowing God. Forming a relationship with Him. Now, even if your checklist or my checklist may be right, when we follow the checklist approach, what does it do? It leads us, it directs us towards becoming a Saturday keeper, falling into legalism, and sometimes even rebellion. But here's the key. Here's the key. If we determine what we do or don't do on the Sabbath by asking this question, if you haven't learned anything today, hear this one. Ask this question. how will this activity affect my communication, my communion with Christ? When you ask that question between you and the Lord, as you're getting to know Him, then Sabbath keeping will be Christian. In my next sermon, I'm looking forward to sharing with you in the future here, I want to share with you 6 practical principles in how we can relate to these principles and keep the Sabbath as a Christian. And you'll find these to be very practical. But today, I want you to see the Sabbath for what it was meant to be. That it's not only the right day. It's not only that it was changed from Saturday to Sunday. And all of that is important. And that's pretty important to know. You got to start there. But don't forget to remind them. Don't forget for yourself to look through the telescope and to form a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Is it your desire to look through the telescope of His Sabbath? To spend more time looking through it and to find a closer walk with Jesus? That's what it's all about, friends. If it is, then I want to invite you to sing with me this beautiful, beautiful hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. And those of you that have been singing with me as a part of the team, I want to invite you to come up here and help me sing along with you. And friends, as I sing this song at home, you know, this is a prayer. This is a prayer put to music. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we sing this prayer. And as we sing this prayer at the end, I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, amen. It's a prayer, friends. It's a prayer. Let's sing together.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Let me from this day be wholly Thine. May I pray grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As Thou hast died for me, may my love to Thee pure, warm, and changeless be. A living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be Thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from Thee aside.
In Jesus' name, amen. Have a happy Sabbath. Remember to look through the telescope.